This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Now, regular listeners will know that Patricia Coda Robles had their conference in Santa Fe earlier this year. A few months ago, I think. And this is now the latest thing, which is assimilating the activities of light.
Hi, Precious Heart. Thank you for joining us for our weekly vlog. In vlog 296, the Company of Heaven reminded us of the incredible opportunities that are being presented to us during this cosmic moment. This influx of light is unlike anything we have ever experienced. In order for all of us to be able to assimilate the full benefit of the events that have taken place, we are being asked by the Company of Heaven to take time this month to just breathe, to focus on the light, and to be here now. In response to this request from on high, today we are going to replay a video of one of the activities of light that helped to bring the immaculate concept of the 36th Annual World Congress on Illumination to God's victorious fruition. This video is titled, I Am Breathing New Frequencies of Fifth Dimensional Solar Light. As you watch this video, please focus on your holy breath. I am breathing new frequencies of fifth dimensional crystalline solar light. I am my I Am presence, and I am one with my Father, Mother, God. In loving gratitude, I breathe my newly elevated life force and prana. I am consciously aware that with every elevated holy breath I take, my I Am presence is consecrating my thoughts, feelings, words, and actions with light and love in appreciation for my gift of life. My I Am presence is one with the I Am presence of every man, woman, and child on earth. As we breathe our holy breath in unison, our I Am presences merge into one luminous being of light that is cradling Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her within the divinity of our unified heart flames. As one voice, we send forth a clarion call, asking for assistance from the beings of light in the realms of illumined truth. Their welcome response comes from every corner of the cosmos, from our Father, Mother, God, the solar logos from suns beyond suns, the mighty Elohim, and the legions of light throughout infinity. We are one with all of these magnificent forces of light, and through our sincere heart call, they have joyously come to help our collective I Am presence anchor into the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on earth, the highest frequencies of our Father Mother God's 12 fifth dimensional crystalline solar aspects of deity that humanity has ever received. As we prepare to anchor this unfathomable frequency of light through our holy breath, we accept and know that the light of God is exponentially expanding through Mother Earth's crystal grid system. This influx of light has allowed Mother Earth to ascend into new celestial and cosmic coordinates. Earth's adjusted position in the universe will now allow humanity, the elemental kingdom, and Mother Earth to safely receive higher solar light codes for the 12 solar aspects of deity through the portals of the suns in Earth's lineage. Now, on this sacred and holy day, through the divine intervention of the entire company of heaven, now gathered in the atmosphere of Earth, we invoke from the very core of creation the most intensified frequencies of our Father Mother God's 12 fifth dimensional crystalline solar aspects of deity that humanity and the earth have ever experienced. As we prepare to receive this influx of light through our collective I Am presence, our spiritual brain centers are recalibrated, and our mental bodies, superconscious minds, conscious minds, subconscious minds, and physical brain structures are raised into brand new levels of divine consciousness. Now, all is in readiness. Beloved Father, Mother, God, and the mighty Elohim, we ask that you breathe brand new frequencies of the 12 fifth dimensional crystalline solar aspects of deity through the holy breath of our collective I Am presence. With every holy breath, expand this divine light through our fifth dimensional crystalline solar spines, our 12 fifth dimensional solar chakras, our acupuncture meridians, and our acupuncture points. As this occurs, we ask that you simultaneously expand this transfiguring light through Mother Earth's crystal grid system and the new fifth-dimensional crystalline record-keeper crystals pulsating within her meridians. Now, to begin this process, I exhale deeply, and I breathe in. I am in-breathing the sapphire blue first solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of God's will, power, protection, and God's first cause of perfection. On my out-breath, this sapphire blue light is secured in the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on earth. Now I am in-breathing the yellow-gold second solar aspect of deity and
and the divine qualities of enlightenment and unity consciousness. On my out-breath, this yellow-gold light is secured in the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now I am inbreathing the pink third solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of God's comprehensive divine love, oneness, and reverence for all life. On my out-breath, this pink light is secured in the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the crystalline white fourth solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of purity, renewal, restoration, resurrection, ascension, and the immaculate concept. On my out-breath, this crystalline white light is secured in the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the emerald green fifth solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of illumined truth, healing, inner vision, and consecration. On my out-breath, this emerald green light is secured in the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the ruby gold sixth solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of grace, devotional worship, and the manifestation of unity consciousness. On my out-breath, this ruby gold light is secured in the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the violet seventh solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of God's infinite perfection, including mercy, compassion, forgiveness, transmutation, liberty, justice, freedom, victory, transfiguration, glory, and oneness. On my out-breath, this violet light is secured in the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the aquamarine eighth solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of clarity, discernment, understanding, and perception. On my out-breath, this aquamarine light is secured in the core of purity in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the magenta ninth solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of harmony, balance, assurance, and God confidence. On my out-breath, this magenta light is secured in the core of purity, in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the gold 10th solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of eternal peace and God's infinite abundance. On my out-breath, this gold light is secured in the core of purity, in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the peach 11th solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of divine purpose, enthusiasm, and joy. On my out-breath, this peach light is secured in the core of purity, in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, I am inbreathing the opal 12th solar aspect of deity and the divine qualities of transformation and transfiguration. On my out-breath, this opal light is secured in the core of purity, in every particle and wave of life on Earth. Now, from this moment forth, these new, higher frequencies of our Father, Mother, God's 12 fifth-dimensional crystalline solar aspects of deity will expand within the core of purity in every facet of life on Earth with every holy breath we take. Beloved Father, Mother, God, Solar Logos, Mighty Elohim, and the legions of light throughout infinity, we thank you for the assistance you are giving to humanity and Mother Earth during this momentous time, and we are grateful for the opportunity to serve all life in this wondrous way. And so it is. Beloved, I am that I am.
Heaven's Window, that one from Peter Cater. Now, Patricia has got a part two to assimilating the activities of light.
Hi, Precious Heart. Thank you for joining us for our weekly vlog. In vlog 296, the Company of Heaven reminded us of the incredible opportunities that are being presented to us during this cosmic moment. This influx of light is unlike anything we have ever experienced. In order for all of us to be able to assimilate the full benefit of the events that have taken place, we are being asked by the Company of Heaven to take some time this month to just breathe, to focus on the light, and to be here now. In response to this request from on high, today we are going to replay a video of one of the activities of light that helped to bring the immaculate concept of the 36th Annual World Congress on Illumination to victorious fruition. This video is titled, I Am Loving All Life Free with Cosmic Forgiveness. As you watch this video, please focus on your holy breath.
I am loving all life free with cosmic forgiveness. I am my I Am Presence, and I am one with the I Am Presence of every man, woman, and child on earth. Collectively, humanity's I Am Presences now merge into one luminous being of light. It is cradling Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her within the divinity of our unified heart flames. As one collective I Am Presence, the sons and daughters of God now merge our unified heart flames with the heart flames of our Father Mother God and the legions of light throughout infinity. Now, as we breathe our elevated holy breath, every person on this planet is being lifted into a higher frequency of unity consciousness. This frequency is the very essence of our Father, Mother, God. Every person is experiencing this shift in perfect alignment with our divine plan and the highest good for all concerned. Beloved Father, Mother, God, we ask that you now greatly intensify within every person's heart flame your comprehensive divine love and your violet flame of cosmic forgiveness. With every breath we take, this sacred fire now flows through our fifth dimensional heart chakra and floods Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her with divine love and cosmic forgiveness. As this exquisite light bathes the earth, every facet of life is lifted into a higher order of being. Our I Am Presence now opens our fifth dimensional crown chakra of enlightenment to full breath. This allows each of us to receive higher solar light codes through the portals of the suns in Earth's lineage. Now, our Father, Mother, God, breathe multidimensional and multifaceted fifth-dimensional crystalline solar light through the portals of suns beyond suns into humanity's crown chakras. These powerful solar light codes descend into every person's heart flame and are secured within the core of purity in every cell of humanity's earthly bodies. This influx of light is accelerating the vibration within every person's physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies to frequencies we have not previously experienced. Now, all is in readiness. Through our I Am presence, we will all participate at both inner and outer levels in this opportunity. This activity of light is stated in the first person, so that every one of us will experience it both individually and collectively. And we begin. Through my I Am presence, I now reach up into the infinity of my own unity consciousness. I clearly perceive that as I am lifted up, all of humanity is being lifted up with me. In this frequency of unity consciousness, I see that humanity's free will is at long last becoming one with God's will. Instantaneously, I see the truth of every person on earth. I see all of my sisters and brothers in the family of humanity, even the most recalcitrant or asleep souls, as precious sons and daughters of God, no matter how far their behavior patterns or their life experiences may be from reflecting that truth. I perceive all of the painful human miscreations associated with my sisters and brothers as innocent primordial energy, entering my awareness now to be transmuted back into light and loved free. I happily greet all of these sons and daughters of God and all of their misqualified energy the same way my Father, Mother, God would greet them. I greet them with comprehensive divine love from within the embrace of eternal peace, detachment, God confidence, compassion, and cosmic forgiveness. I am enveloped in an invincible force field of God's infinite light as I invite my sisters and brothers into the kingdom of heaven within my heart flame. I hold them in my arms of light as I would an injured child. They cannot overwhelm me or control me in any way. I simply hold them and love them until they surrender to the love of God, desiring on their own to enter the kingdom of heaven within the divinity of their own heart flames. Now, rather than feeling rejected and thus perpetuating their negative behavior patterns, my sisters and brothers feel accepted and loved as the innate sons and daughters of God they are. They voluntarily release themselves into the light, and they begin to know that they are one with all life, and that all life is divine. I rejoice that every person and their unascended energies are finding their way home, and I release myself into the peace of knowing my I Am presence is handling all imperfection perfectly. Now, as these sons and daughters of God awaken and surrender to their I Am presence, they begin to remember who they are and why they are on earth during this cosmic moment. With this sacred knowledge, they once again find their proper place in the family of humanity. In perfect divine order, they are set free to live and co-create the patterns of perfection associated with the new earth, which are now being revealed intuitively through their open hearts and minds. Now, from this powerful perspective of oneness and unity consciousness, the Company of Heaven will empower our invocations to transmute back into light the thoughts, feelings, words, and actions that humanity has expressed in the past that are not based in love. Those expressions have been instrumental in perpetuating the painful illusions of separation and duality. As we transmute this misqualified energy back into light, the way is being cleared for the co-creation of the heart-based patterns associated with the new earth. And we begin. I invoke beloved Saint Germain and the legions of fifth dimensional archangels associated with the violet flame of God's cosmic forgiveness. Beloved ones, I ask that you gather up every electron of precious life energy being expended by humanity during this sacred and holy time. Purify this energy with the power and might of 1,000 suns, using the new fifth dimensional solar frequencies of God's violet flame of cosmic forgiveness. Weave this purified energy into the collective cup of humanity's consciousness, which is now being formed by the global attention being focused on the events unfolding in the outer world. I accept and know that through this activity of light, every electron of precious life energy being released by the sons and daughters of God on earth will now be available for their I Am presence to use in manifesting the immaculate concept of the divine plan for Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her. Beloved legions of light, I now ask that you breathe through every person's heart flame the most intensified frequencies of cosmic forgiveness that humanity is capable of receiving during this cosmic moment. Blaze the full divine momentum of this incomparable frequency of God's infinite light in, through, and around every electron of precious life energy that has ever been misqualified by the sons and daughters of God in any time frame or dimension, both known and unknown. Now, with the full power of my beloved I Am presence and the fifth dimensional violet flame of cosmic forgiveness, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive every person, place, condition, or thing that may have wronged me in any way, at any time, for any reason whatsoever. And I love free all debts owed to me by life everywhere. I now invoke this violet flame of God's cosmic forgiveness on behalf of myself and every person on earth for any misuse of God's gift of life since the beginning of time. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And as I am forgiven, I send forth a gift of God's comprehensive divine love to balance all debts to any facet of life that I have created which still remain unpaid. I am grateful for the violet flame of cosmic forgiveness, which is allowing me and all of humanity to love all of our misqualified energy free before it can act, manifest, or longer be sustained. Now I speak directly to the heart of this violet flame. Sacred fire, enfold me in your purifying, forgiving, healing substance, which will cause the consciousness and feeling of God's cosmic forgiveness to flow forth from me to all life everywhere with every breath I take. Let this purifying essence saturate the atmosphere around me. Wherever I live, move, breathe, and have my being, allow your miracle working force of cosmic forgiveness to give daily tangible proof of your reality to all life. Beloved Saint Germain and the legions of fifth dimensional archangels associated with the violet flame of God's cosmic forgiveness, intensify and guard this frequency of the violet flame around me and all of humanity, in order that we may use our life and our light to their fullest in our service to life. Now, I seal this activity of light by flooding my being with the joyful experience of God's cosmic forgiveness. I know that in forgiving, I let go of all of the effects of any misused energy impinging on my life and the lives of humanity. I let go of the ignorance, confusion, and pain of this world. I have come to love life free, and with the gift of cosmic forgiveness, so I shall. This is the heart center of my existence, the joy of forgiving life as it enters my awareness. From this moment forth, I am setting all life free into a higher vibration with a violet flame of cosmic forgiveness that Saint Germain and the legions of fifth dimensional archangels have given so freely into my keeping this sacred and holy day. I am a force of this violet flame, now blessing all life on this sweet earth. I am the joy of cosmic forgiveness. I am the joy of cosmic forgiveness. I am the joy of cosmic forgiveness. And so it is, beloved I am. Beloved I am. Beloved, I am that I am. Thank you.
Medwin Grawl and Medicine Woman, that one. Now, Lee Carroll, who channels Cryon, has got a message for us about planting the seeds of mastery.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Cryon of Magnetic Service. What a time this is. If you heard the channeling from last week, I said these words, it's here. This is the shift. The one we told you was coming. This is the light coming to the planet, although it looks odd in so many ways. In these last 2 years, there's been a major shakeup of so many things. There have been decisions to make. How did you do? There have been so many things presented to you, and now it even continues, as I said it would. This is a time that you were born for. We gave a channel not too long ago. It had to do with that which you experienced even before you got here. We spoke of that beautiful consciousness of your soul before you ever get to this planet, deciding to come. And almost all of you listening to this program, even the ones who casually are listening, had a choice to come or not to come during a time that might be volatile. Those of you who are seniors, you had a choice, even during that which was the Cold War, thinking perhaps there would be truly a nuclear war, an Armageddon, the end of times, even that which was predicted, perhaps even by many scriptures, and you came anyway. And I told you that there was a chance, that the ancients had called it, that this precession of equinoxes that moves you into the 2000s instead of being the end would be the beginning. Did I ever mention to you that the ancients were enamored, you might say, over this time, this precession of the equinox time? They all had prophecies over it. And they all gave prophecies that could go either way. You see this even in that which is the Hopi prophecy rock. A split would occur. You would have a choice to go one way or another just about now. This was foreseen. I told you about it and have been for many years. You knew this was going to happen before you got here. The potential of it going either way. And you came. That's why we love humanity so much. Those listening to this now, all of you, we know you're here and you're listening at whatever time you've chosen to see this. Knowing this, that the love you have for humanity, for the earth, for each other, you came, old soul, because you knew you could make a difference. This particular channel, last week's, and the ones to follow on this month, will all have this one theme. It's here. It's time to start planting the seeds you came with. Last week, we told you it would be like a farmer who had one set of circumstances all his life, time to plant, time to harvest, and that something shifted on the planet energetically, or maybe weather-wise, that gave him a perfect scenario to plant and harvest like no other. And it gave him crops that lasted longer and were larger and more abundant, and it was amazing. Same seeds, perhaps. That is what is occurring now. Everything you did and tried in the old energy that was sacred, metaphysical, now can blossom in a way that never has been seen on the planet. If you've put this together, it had to be this way. For even though light comes out, and we call it light coming to this planet, what it changes is you. It doesn't fall upon the soil of the earth. It falls on you, old soul. And the tools that you came in with start to expand. This has been the theme. if you figured this out, for all of these years since 2012, this is the time. But suddenly it is in your face, as you would say, because the changing earth, the changing times, are right here for you to see everything I told you. That when light starts to come out, the darkness objects. And that's what's going on. So it's time for those seeds you came in with to be planted. Now, this is a metaphor. Don't look for your seeds. The metaphor is this. You had them when you got here, truly. But you might say they were on the back shelf. You might have tried to trot them out and use them earlier on in an old energy, and there was disappointment. Disappointment. They simply didn't work the way you thought. You wanted to do this, write a book, build a healing center, do all of these things that were ingrained into you, old soul, and it didn't work. And now we tell you this. You did it too soon. Try again. Don't be daunted by it didn't work in the old energy. It's almost like you were on another planet. You tried it and it didn't work. And this is a new planet. This is a new world. This is one where the light is starting to come out and manifest itself right in the pockets of the old souls who are currently listening. What a deal. I want you to think for a moment. What is it that you would plant? There are many kinds of things. For yourself, perhaps. For others, perhaps. I will give you an axiom. The seeds of spirit are not things. They are concepts. So every seed that you carry, every one of that you carry, that metaphor, the thing that you have that you can then plant and manifest on this planet, is a concept. Now, some of these concepts are personal. But in planting the personal seeds, they harvest for the world. Let me explain that yet again. When you change, the things around you change. It's the example we have given many times of how the field works. What you have that changes in you affects everyone. And it's not just perhaps those around you in your family or your partnerships or your businesses. These things that you have that you place upon yourselves and develop yourselves go into a field that literally surrounds the planet. You might say that individually, you change something which is much, much greater and bigger. Individually, the drops in the ocean, they change what the ocean is. If you think about how many drops there are, the salinity of them or whatever, it happened many times for them to be what they are. But each single drop made a difference. It's different with the field because certain kinds of drops affect the field in a greater way than others. For instance, you'll say, well, there are those putting anger in the field. Yes, there are. And there are those putting compassion and kindness in the field. Yes, there are. So here's what I'll tell you that has been told to you over and over. One is greatly more powerful than the other. One is an emotion. The other one is magnificence. Can you guess which is which? It's time for you to plant something. Let me make a suggestion on what it might be. Each one of you are magnificent. Each one of you carry the attributes of mastery. What would it be like for you and the planet if you took out those seeds of mastery and planted them right now? And here's what you can think to yourself, or here's what you can conceive of. You can conceptualize this. The seeds are of your own mastery. I have defined what is involved in this. You think differently. You act differently. You're more mature. Things in your life start to change. You're more relaxed. and you start to plant those seeds right now, and you see yourself pushing them into the ground, covering them with dirt, watering them, and the sun is out now in a way it never has been before, and you start to see results almost immediately. The harvest happens simultaneously with the planting. That is extremely multidimensional. No time is involved. And immediately you start seeing the results in your own life. You've taken an action that you conceived of, mastery. What happens with mastery? Mastery is a slow development inside you of your magnificence. And you start to feel it. It comes through intuition, changes in the way that you see others, the changes on how you act when certain things take place, and what you see that you wish to do that might be different from last year or even last week. That's mastery. And what happens next is the start of something grand. As you begin to harvest that energy that you have planted, that you brought with you for this time, right now, when the light is starting to come out, that energy goes everywhere. It's designed to, dear ones, those seeds, those metaphoric, multidimensional seeds of mastery, they zing out of the ground and they go into the field, they go around the world, and it makes a difference. It makes a difference. This is the invitation for you right now. To conceptualize taking something that came with you, that you know you brought. This is the seed of magnificence, of mastery. And you decide, I'm going to plant it now. See yourself pushing it into the ground, covering it with the soil, watering it, and up starts coming something beautiful. Perhaps the first thing you hear is music. Maybe you feel the benevolence of your guides hugging you and the kindness pouring into your heart, perhaps that you've needed all along. And you start feeling a change in you, in your body, in how you think. Welcome to the shift. Welcome to the change I told you about that you came here for. You're the ones. It's here. It's time. You're the ones. This is why I told my partner to start this show. It's for the time. This particular streaming episode, all of this designed for you. The ones who would watch this kind of a show and be the members in this kind of a show, an organization, a program, are the very ones, the old souls with the seeds. I am crying in love with humanity. And so it is.
I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I got the power, you got the power, we got the power.
I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. Someone else is gonna do it all for me. I've got to get up, get out, get it. Just get started. Take one step towards my destiny. I'll define my direction with clear-cut intention. Declare what will be and then watch it come to me. 'Cause I've got the power to make all my dreams come true. There's nothing I can't do. I've got the power to be anything I want.
I've got the power inside.
feel that I'm just no good. Days when I don't even wanna try. But when I stop, look and listen, surrender. I hear a voice of truth I cannot deny. And it says, you know you can do it. Just get down to it. Have faith in yourself and the will to see it through. Cause I've got the power to make all my dreams come true. I've got the power, there ain't nothing I can't do. I've got the power to be anything I want. I've got the power inside of me, yeah. I've got the power inside of me. When I feel so frightened and it seems like I just can't go on, I've got to look deep inside, cause that's where I find the power, the power, the power inside of me.
Well, that's obvious. You've got the power. That's Karen Drucker. Now, David Bowie, he recorded this some time ago, but it's still relevant at the moment.
It was most peculiar. Out of nowhere, he suddenly said, religion is over, and it lies in the arts, that the information of spiritual life will be in the vessel of the visual and the musical arts.
I think it's terribly dangerous for an artist to fulfill other people's expectations. I think they generally produce their worst work when they do that.
Maybe we have to exist and live on the idea that we have one day at a time. If we could do that, we may be serving some great thing.
I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable.
David Bowie is known as one of the most influential musicians of the 20th century, leaving a phenomenal impact on popular music throughout his life. Although there is more to this man than meets the eye, there's an intellectual and spiritual side to him that often gets overlooked when it comes to his reputation. Although I believe this is one of the major reasons for his success, as well as his unique artistic approach to never play to the gallery.
Never play to the gallery. I think, but you never learn that until much later on, I think. But never work for other people at what you do. Always remember that the reason that you initially started working was that there was something inside yourself that you felt that if you could manifest it in some way, you would understand more about yourself and how you coexist with the rest of society. I think it's terribly dangerous for an artist to fulfill other people's expectations. I think they generally produce their worst work when they do that. But I've gotten used to the fact that you just can't please all the people all the time. And I've got no great desire to be loved in a major way by faceless anonymous crowds. It's not part of something that I want. And if the other thing I would say is that if you feel safe in the area that you're working in, you're not working in the right area. Always go a little further into the water than you feel you're capable of being in. Go a little bit out of your depth. And when you don't feel that your feet are quite touching the bottom, you're just about in the right place to do something exciting.
Another intriguing view David shares is the idea of artistic views being some kind of a dysfunctionality, Rather than living a steady and sustainable lifestyle, being an artist is to take a step into the unknown, eliminating the stereotypical rules of society.
I've often wondered if actually that being an artist of in any way, any nature, is a kind of a sign of a certain kind of dysfunction, a social dysfunctionalism anyway. It's an extraordinary thing to want to do, to express yourself in such rarefied terms. I think it's a loony kind of thing to want to do. I think the saner and rational approach to life is to survive steadfastly and create a protective home and create a warm, loving environment for one's family and get food for them. That's about it. That's actually all. Anything else is extra. All culture is extra. Culture is, I guess it's a freebie. It's something that we only need to eat. We don't need particular color plates or particular height chairs or anything. I mean, anything will do, but we insist on making 1,000 different kinds of chairs and 15 different kinds of plates. It's unnecessary, and it's a sign of the irrational part of man, I think.
One of the David Bowie quotes that I find most fascinating is, "Religion is for people who fear hell. Spirituality is for people who have been there." This seems to be a reflection of his spiritual knowledge, as well as the studies he did on Buddhism early on.
When I was about 18, I studied Tibetan Buddhism for about 2 or 3 years, and I had a teacher, Chimi Yungdung Rinpoche, who had just come over from Tibet and led his own followers over. The majority of them, sadly, were shot by the Chinese as they made their exit from Tibet down into India. He started off, I think, something like 2,000 followers and ended up with 50 or 60 because the helicopters would come out there and shoot them off. But he fortunately came through, and he really sort of tried to guide me into some kind of informed opinion about Buddhism. I wouldn't say that I was a very good Buddhist. Actually, he eventually told me to exert myself in music and not run off and get my hair cut off and become a lama. But the one thing that he left me with was a sense of transience and change, which actually became fundamentals to my life, my approach to it, and not holding on to anything, not considering that there is anything that will last through one's entire eternal life, living or dead. And it makes letting go very easy, material things or physical things. And looking for the source of one's own being becomes much more important. And I guess that's been sort of my own personal journey, is trying to sort out where my spiritual bounty lies, where my thread to a universal order lies. And that can become a life search. And I think that's, as a writer, probably what I involve myself in more than anything else. It was a Zen teacher at a temple that I like a lot in Kyoto. It was most peculiar. Out of nowhere, he suddenly said, "Religion is over, and it lies in the arts, that the information and spiritual life will be in the vessel of the visual and the musical arts." Which I thought was quite a stunning comment from this 70-year-old Zen master. I can't remember who the philosopher was, but in the early part of the century, he said that we have to kill God to reinvent him. And I think that is very much playing itself out in the later part of this century. I think we have to find the focus of where our religious strength lies in an entirely different area from the archaic and almost medieval forms that we're sort of expected to supplant ourselves to. Yeah. There's a term that the Gnostics use, which is called the God beyond God. And I think that there's a sense of once trying to find some merit in the chaos that we perceive as our existence. And for someone like myself who comes from Judeo-Christian upbringing, there's something that pulls with the idea of having a God who's a judge and a father and an arbiter of morals and whatever. It just doesn't, it seems too symbolic, it's too easy. And I think that the idea that the early Gnostics had, which is that there is in fact the deep, the depth of the God beyond the God. There's something beyond that which one can't call a singular entity. It's something that just pervades everything. And I still think that that's probably one of the major searches that I've probably made in my life. Not
sure how close I ever got, but I know that it does occur to most of us, I think, who work in the arts or in writing or expressing oneself. When you're expressing oneself, you're also trying to express one's existence, you know, so it's wrapped up in the same thing.
Bowie's philosophical knowledge adds up to a fascinating interpretation of the 20th century, as well as a unique perspective on the purpose of life.
The late 19th century, there was people were so aggrandized with their own sense of science and the aftermath of the Enlightenment and how man himself could improve the world. Then, of course, it led to things like Nietzsche saying God is dead, and it led to Einstein's discovery that time and space aren't what we thought they were, and Freud an understanding of another kind of human inside the human. All these things culminated in the idea that everything we'd known before was wrong. Everything. So we start out the 20th century with this clean slate. We are now the gods. And the greatest thing that we could do as God during that century was create the bomb. That was what we were good at doing. And I think that in itself, in the 50s and 60s, the repercussions of what we had done by standing in for this idea of morality, ourselves, creating it all ourselves, so destroyed our fix on what we should be doing in life that we're still living through that chaos right now. We have no spiritual lives to speak of. There's quasi-new religions, but there is no direct sense of what our purpose is anymore. Now, that may be a good thing, because it may show itself to be that we, in fact, don't have a purpose. Are we big enough and mature enough to exist like that? Are we mature enough to accept that there's no plan, there's no going somewhere, there's no gift of immortality at the end of this if we evolve? If we evolve far enough, we may never have to die. I mean, that seems to be the reach from the past. Well, maybe we can't live like that. Maybe we have to exist and live on the idea that we have one day at a time to live. And can we do that? Because if we could do that, we may be serving some great thing.
In 1999, David made a highly accurate prediction of the internet's impact on society and popular culture, both in a positive and negative way.
Up until at least the mid-70s, really felt that we were still living under the in the guise of a single and absolute created society, where there were known truths and known lies, and there was no kind of duplicity or pluralism about the things that we believed in. That started to break down rapidly in the 70s, and the idea of a duality in the way that we live. There are always 2, 3, 4, 5 sides to every question. That the singularity disappeared. And that, I believe, has produced such a medium as the internet, which absolutely establishes and shows us that we are living in total fragmentation.
You don't think that some of the claims being made for it are hugely exaggerated? I mean, when the telephone was invented, people made amazing claims.
The president at the time, when it was first invented, he was outrageous. He said he foresaw the day in the future when every town in America would have a telephone. Now, how dare he claim like that? Absolute bullshit. No, you see, I don't agree. I think the internet, I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg. I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable. I think we're actually on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying.
It's just a tool, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. No, it's an alien life form.
But it's simply a different delivery system there. You're arguing about something more profound.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the actual context, and the state of content is going to be so different to anything that we can really envisage at the moment, where the interplay between the user and the provider will be so in simpatico, it's going to crush our ideas of what mediums are all about. But it's happening in every form. It's happening in visual art. The breakthroughs at the early part of the century with people like Duchamp, who were so prescient in what they were doing and putting down. The idea that the piece of work is not finished until the audience come to it and add their own interpretation, and what the piece of art is about is the grey space in the middle. That grey space in the middle is what the 21st century is going to be about.
Rest in peace, David. Your music and intellect will remain far after your passing.
Started a silly season now, so we're going through till the end of the year. So we're having late nights on Thursdays down at Infinity. So we're staying home till 5:30. That's next week, the 8th, and then the 15th and the 22nd. And on those nights, there's meditations starting at 5:30 on the 8th, 6 o'clock on the 15th, and back to 5:30 on the 22nd. And then again on the 10th, which is Saturday the 10th, we're having a spirit fest. And again on the 17th, the week after. So there's a chance for you to come in and meet up with a lot of our readers and healers and get a reading or a healing at a cheaper price. All happening at Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, right opposite Countdown. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.